But we're here today to understand that you are loved. We're here today, as we had read, Deacon Dennis read Psalm 139. It talked about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that mean? What does that look like? I want us first to look at a video. It's a real short video. I think a video that hopefully you will come to see step by step today, that you are valuable, that you are indeed perfectly loved and perfectly made in the image of God. I want you to see this little clip from this man's cell phone, and I hope it has an impact on your life. Let's play that.
So, me and my wife were looking at some old home videos recently of our youngest daughter being born. I'm going to show you the video. Not her being born, because my wife would be like, you doing what? We got some conflict we need to talk about. So it's a video of our youngest daughter being born. I took this video. The video you're about to watch is a video I took, but I didn't understand the power of it until I watched the video. So let me set it up for you. She's like 2.5 minutes old. Our daughter's 2.5 minutes old at the time. And they got her under that little chicken warmer at the hospital, the little thing to keep the french fries warm. I don't know what kind of insurance we have, but that's what they got her under. And the nurse is about to clean her up, and she starts to cry. I want you to notice what happens when she hears my voice. Okay, look, I'm right here. It's okay. I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay, I'm right here. Right here, yeah, it's okay, baby. Yo, so that was pretty powerful, right? Now it's like 7.5 minutes or so later. The nurse is done cleaning her up, and she starts to cry again. I speak up, and she stops crying again. But I want you to notice what happens when I tell her I love her.
Portland, it's okay. It's good. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. It's okay.
So here's the thing. There's going to be times in life where it feels like you're going from conflict to conflict to conflict. Or maybe you're just full of fear because of all the uncertainties right now. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice. Be still and listen for the Father's voice, because He is talking to you. And what He wants you to know is that He's right here. He loves you. All you have to do is open your eyes.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful? No matter what you have been told about yourself, no matter what you think about yourself, we're talking today about what God thinks of you, that He does love you. Even as that little child, that newborn, responded to the voice of her father and her father telling her that she is loved. This message today, I want God to speak to our hearts and let us know that we are loved. Oh, how we are loved and wonderfully made in the image of God. So let's get into the message today. We've had the text from Psalm 139 that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. But my goal today is to try to help us see what that means. What does it mean to be fearfully and wonderfully made? So here we go. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts, our feelings, our thoughts, and let us absorb the wonder of your love. Help us to really see that we are of value, that you are our Father, and you have given us your name, not someone else, not some action of ours that we have named ourselves by, but that you, being the God of love, is our Father. Please do that for us, Lord. Work deeply in our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it mean to be fearfully and wonderfully made? Fearful indicates that creating life is a reverent, holy process. That when God made you, it was like he was making a beautiful cathedral, but even greater, of tremendous value and worth. It is translated fearfully, but it isn't about being scared. It's about rather of being in awe. Whoa, God. Wow, I didn't know you were like that. Wow, God, you mean that's me? That kind of awe. If you've ever been to the mountains and saw a mountain range, or like I still can't get out of my head after many years of being there, the Grand Canyon, and looking over the edge and, you know, hoping you don't fall over, but you want to tiptoe to the edge to see every inch of it. And it's that wow. And as we were there several years ago, my wife and I, and we were praying, and we said, you know, God, we don't have any problems. Our issues and problems are nothing compared to you and your creation. You made us. And if you made these rocks and cliffs and water, we are much better than that. Greater are we than that. And it helped to form our identity of who we are. It's not who names you by some file name or your acts that name you. It is God who's named you in his creation. The word in Hebrew is Yare, Y-A-R-E. It is translated fearfully, but it isn't, again, not about a fear of God. I'm scared of God. No, it's an awe of God. And that awe of God, an awe of his glory, translates in our identity. For he made us in his image. He just didn't make us. He didn't say, well, I'm going to make them like the Grand Canyon. He says, no, I'm going to make them like me. Scripture says in Genesis that we were created in the image of God. They were made like him in every way. You say, well, you know, I don't have eternal life. But guess what? God does. And he gives us eternal life. We will live forever and ever. This type of fear is this astonishment, this magnificent thing that you look at and you're breathless. You don't have words to express it. You're fearfully made. It means there is a mysterious awesomeness about you. And I remember what someone once said. They said, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. No matter what you've done or who you say you are, or you've been told you're not junk. You are priceless. You're awesome. You're in the image of God. You're fearfully made. You're mysterious and awesome. You as an individual that way. Because you are the apex of God's creation. You are God's best. You are, you know, you go over to France and they have these great halls of artistry. You are God's masterpiece. We sang that song a few weeks ago. And you are unique. There's none like you. When God painted you, when God loved you, there's no one like you in all the world. There never will be. We aren't cranked out like some human conveyor belt, okay? It goes down the factory, and there's your soul. There goes so-and-so soul. There goes so-and-so soul. No, no, you're not on a conveyor belt of life. Each of us is crafted by God in his image, but also designed to be who you are. You are designed to be who you are. There's nobody else like you. Nobody has DNA like you. You know, this thing of Ancestry.com is big, all right? And my wife, was blessed to get one. I said, Lord, she wanted to know. She says, honey, you have yours? And I don't care. Okay. Who my folks were, this and that. I care about God. Now, one day I hope to have it done. You can care about God and care about your ancestry too. But your ancestors are unique. Your DNA is no other DNA. That's why when they sent the little, you know, those of you who've been through ancestry, so, boy, he's really in the dark. He didn't understand this. They sent this little packet, and they have this little vial. I mean, little plastic vial. I mean, really small, that you're to spit into. Yeah. And you got to spit a certain amount. And they, from that spittle, they take and they analyze and they see the DNA, and they're able to see that there's no DNA like you, but they are able to do matches of maybe some of your kin folks. But you're all unique. Isn't that wonderful? There's nobody like you, and you're perfect. You're perfect who God made you. You say, well, you know, if I'm perfect in the way God made you, why am I sick? I'm wonderfully made. Why? God perfectly made me. Why does he allow us to get cancer? Or why are certain people not born with their whole mind? Why are some ladies not able to have children? Why are some children born with autism? Why? I can't tell you why. But I know that God made you, your offspring, and who you are and who your folks are beautifully and wonderfully. So you say, well, how can you cause, say, a diseased person? It's beautifully made. Ah, because of the master artist who made us, who has a magnificent plan for each and every person. I was looking at a video the other day of this man who was born with no limbs, no arms, no legs. And the doctors apologized to his mom and dad for not aborting him. For they said, your son will never have a useful life. That son is now a man. And to the doctors, he said, he literally, you know, it's the grown man. Or he said, oh, pastor, that's so gross. But that's what he's saying. He's saying to what they said that I would have no useful life on that. He says, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And here he is on a table. Going wrong. Here he is on a floor going wrong. He said, one day he was in traffic. And he said, stop. And they stopped. He says, who said I would not have a useful life? And he goes all over the world preaching the gospel. And to that he says, God has the final say. I'm created in his image and for his glory. And God gave him a voice. He doesn't have legs. He doesn't have arms, but he can move. He can get around. And God gave him this wonderful voice and this wonderful mind to display the glory of God to whoever will listen to him. He preaches the gospel with all of his heart, all of his soul. That is glorious. That is being fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of us have all our facilities and all of our faculties and are quote unquote whole, and yet we live in a hole of our minds. And we go nowhere helping nobody. God made us all unique, all diverse, and he shows us that all of life is wonderful, has been beautifully and wonderfully created. And that we should honor that. I like the way Jeremiah put it in Jeremiah 1:5. The prophet records the word of the Lord. He says, before I formed you, this is God, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God says, I knew you. I've known you for eternity. He knows you. He knows how you think. He knows your burdens. He knows everything about you. He created you in awe. You are his cathedral in which he dwells, fearfully and wonderfully made. But Jeremiah said, before I was formed in the womb, God is telling Jeremiah this. He said, I know you. He said, Jeremiah, I've always known you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now notice this. Before he was born, God had a plan for him. God appointed him to be a prophet to the nations. And you think he had an easy time? He had such a hard time, even theologians today call him the weeping prophet. Because he suffered so much. And he was rejected so much. But yet he had a purpose. God had appointed him. What are you living for? God created you for something special. He created you to be valued and honored. And to value and to honor others. Verses 15 and 16, he says, my frame was not hidden from you. God knew how you would be physically. And I know that many of us, whether in old age or through birth, have things we have to struggle with. We're born a certain way, and we wish we weren't that way. We pray, Father, heal us. And he has chosen not to. But it's for his glory. In the Gospel of John, it's either chapter 9 or 10. I didn't write it down right, so I can't even read what I wrote down sometimes. You ought to see my notes sometimes. How can I even preach for that? But God enables me to even read my chicken scratch sometimes. But anyway, there was this blind man who was born blind, and they wanted to know, the Pharisees wanted to know, who sinned? Because they equated this man being in a disadvantaged position who was blind, who had to be led around. They wanted to know who sinned. Did he sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus told him, no, it was for the glory of God. Jesus made that man blind. He made the blind man. That blind man has and had tremendous worth and tremendous value because of the artist. I went into an art store in our area not long ago, and I wanted to know how much a particular picture that was oil painted was worth. And a man says, well, you know, it's a good piece, but it's not worth much. I said, why not? He says, because there's no great name who signed it. She realized, I didn't know that before, that your artwork is only as good as the person who signs it. Guess who signed your life? The Creator, your Creator, Jesus Christ, your Father in heaven, signed your life. Your birth certificate was not what the doctor signed. Your birth certificate is signed on your heart by your Heavenly Father who loves you perfectly. I'm saying all this, not only that we understand what it means to be wonderfully and perfectly made, but also you understand who you are. God wants us to understand our identity is in him. No matter who calls you this, no matter what you have done to devalue your own life, God says, this is who you are. I'm the one who makes you. Because of me, you have tremendous worth. My frame was not hidden from you, and I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. When he says that's a poetic way, in the depths of the earth, he's talking about your being in your mother's womb. Your eyes saw. Jeremiah writes, your eyes, O God, saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when I was yet there was none of them. No days yet, God had written while he was in the womb his days. Yes, there's all kind of advances in science and biology, but let me tell you this. There's no one who can make your soul but God. There's no one who can make you, you, distinct from everybody else. Someone unlike anyone else has entered the world before until you arrived. It was like God was blowing trumpets over you. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Your life has value because of the one who made you, who signed his name on your heart. And everyone else in this world has been uniquely made. They are works of art. They are cathedrals. They're distinctly created from all of creation. And all of the world is built around us. All of the mountains, the sea, the plants, the flowers, all of that is in worship to God about you and what he's done. We are unique and we are wonderfully and beautifully made. You are perfectly loved and wonderfully made. Remember that if you have to say it over and over again. I want you to get that down in your soul. And I want you to love others. God wants us to love others as he's loved us. As he's loved us. I want you to look at other people. You may not like them. God didn't tell you to like them. He told us to love them. People who, see, God has diversity. He created with diversity in DNA, in blood types, and this and that throughout the world because he wants us to come to value his worth in other people. You may say, well, I don't like them folks. I don't want to be around them folks. Let me tell you something. They're created in God's image, and he's called us to love them. We talk about loving one another. You say, yeah, that other I don't want to fool with. Huh, that other is in God's image. God wants us to come to value others as God has valued us. You have no greater value than the person coming across the border. You have no greater value than anyone because God has created us. And he wants us to learn to love like he loves, that all life is sacred. If it's someone of another ethnic group, of another color, of another belief even, God wants us to learn to value them. God wants us also to receive his forgiveness. Many of us have done things that are against life. Many of us have hated other people. Some even perhaps in the sound of my voice have deliberately tried to hurt and did hurt other people. Paul said he was the worst of all sinners because he put to death those who were in the image of God. He put to death the Christians and he repented of that and God forgave him and made him the greatest apostle. And some say the greatest man of God has ever lived. We've all sinned against life. But now we've been told better. And God, whether it's on an ethnic basis, on a sex basis, someone of a different sex, or whatever the basis is, God has perfectly loved you and I. And he's wonderfully made us, and he wants us to treat other people the same way. See, that is being pro-life as well, of loving others that you have maybe been taught not to love or to automatically have, you know, it could be the other way around. Well, you know, those folks have hurt my folks, so I'm going to hate them. Now, God tells you to love them, everybody, even those who despitefully, the scripture says, use you, love them. That's the only way you're going to be free in God. Because if God is saying, I want you to love everybody because I've made everybody perfectly and wonderfully made, then how can you relate with God that way when you're going against his plan and purpose? God has made us perfectly loved and perfectly made for his glory. For his glory. What that means? Glory means worth and value. And so when we value other people, we're glorifying God because we're recognizing that they're in the image of God, and we will humble ourselves and love and serve them. Isn't that beautiful how God has made it that we all become one family, become cohesive by his love through his creation of all of us, because your neighbor was created by the same God who's called us to love him. Now, God wants us to do something, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But he wants us to love one another. Now, I've shown you how he's loved you and I, perfectly loved and wonderfully made. God wants us to love others the same way, because I believe that is the way we experience the love of God. God didn't just pour his love. If I could do this, I won't try it. This won't fit. His love into this little bottle. He wants to pour it in us to share to others, okay? So it never runs dry. Love, love, love. Not just love of God for you, but God has loved us to love others. The scripture says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't God wonderful? Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for making us in your image perfectly loved. No accidents, no mistakes. Help us to experience that, Lord. Help us to have that kind of identity and security of who we really are. We are loved. We are perfectly loved and wonderfully made. And Father, if we have to stop and tell ourselves that 100,000 times a day, let us do it. Let us look to heaven. Let us kneel before you and humble ourselves. God, thank you that you love me, that I'm perfectly loved and wonderfully made. And I don't have to go with those bad thoughts and feelings that I've had in the past. For you are good. Let your goodness and love shine forth through us. Oh, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness of our devaluing life. Forgive us, Lord, for all the mistakes and the hatred and the acts. All of us know what we've done. But thankfully, there's love and forgiveness. And let us be beacons and ambassadors of your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is time for us to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's turn to John, the 15th chapter. John 15, and let's begin reading in verse 12. And we hear the word of God for it to change us. We hear the word of God for us to walk in the truth of God's word. John 15 and verse 12, this is the word of the Lord. My command is this, love each other. Notice this, love each other as I have loved you. Not the way we want to love him, okay? But in the way that he has loved us. And we've heard today how he's loved us. He's loved us perfectly and wonderfully he's made us. In the same way, God wants us to love others. My command, this is a command, is this. Love each other as I have loved you. And how did he love us? He gave up his life. He gave up his life for us, his body and his blood. Love each other as I've loved you. Verse 13, greater love. You want to say that we love others? Greater love has no one than this, that he may lay down his life for his friends. You say what? They're not my friend. Let's read on. Verse 14, he says, you are my friends. And we want to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. You don't want me to sing it. Okay, somebody else can sing. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. But God's just let us in on his business. He isn't a business of perfectly loving. and looking at others as being wonderfully made by the Master. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. See, he's chosen and appointed you. Shows you have tremendous value and worth as we follow and live by and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. He says to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. He says it a third time. This is my command. Love each other. So Father, we ask that you would bless this bread and this wine. As we eat it and drink it, we're thankful to you that you created us and loved us perfectly and wonderfully. Oh Lord, empower us as we eat and drink so that we may love each other. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we will eat and drink this to the song, Love Each Other.
Was hushed and still, and when the bowl was filled, he stooped to wash their feet, and when it was complete, he said, this is what I'm asking you to do. This is why I'm kneeling here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see. Who it is you follow. Love each other. One another. Love each other.
Shine.